Everyone, very, very much for coming, and especially to thank Seth and Emily for feeding everyone, for opening up their home, for bringing us together. We're learning the Kutei Moharan. Unfortunately, our dear friend Brian is in Israel, so he's not with us right now, but we are deeply indebted to him as well. And to our friend Akiva for putting together the emails. So I figured let's start the third Torah of Likutei Moharan, which is one of Rabbi Nachman's Toros about music and the importance of holy music and the nature of Jewish music. So maybe before we begin, we should sing a couple of nigunim. So maybe we'll start with the Nigun of Rabbi Nachman. The story that I heard from my teacher, Rabbi Wolfson, was that Rabbi Nachman's daughter had to get married. And Rabbi Nachman didn't have any money, and they needed to pay for the wedding. And you know, in Europe, 200 years ago, when a young lady would get married, she'd have to bring some dowry to help the family get provisions, get started. She had nothing, and it was the day of the wedding. So she said to her father, Rabbi Nachman, she said, you know, I don't have anything. He said, okay, we're going to come up with something. So Rabbi Nachman went into the room, he sat, and he came out, he said, I have something for you. And he gave her this niggun. He gave her a niggun. So this is the niggun. The words are from Eishes Chayil, and they are Oz v'hadar levusha, Vatischak liyom acharon, which means strength and glory are her garments, and she will laugh at the last day, which is the simple understanding is, or one of the understandings, is that it's a reference to the Shekhinah, the divine presence. God has there's a way to relate to God that's a sort of feminine way called the Shekhinah, the attribute of Malchus, of God's kingship. So that divinity or that awareness of God is cloaked in glory and beauty, and on the last day God laughs because redemption is coming. So this was the niggun that Rabbi Nachman gave his daughter to go at. This was the dowry that he gave her. Oz v'hadar levusha v'atischak liyom acharon. Oiz v'hadar levusha v'atischak liyom acharon. Hey, la 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 Oz v'hadar levusha v'atischak liyom acharon. Oz v'hadar levusha v'atischak liyom acharon. La 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 So this is a very special niggun, Rabbi Nachman's niggun, and like many nigunim, it starts with a slower tempo, And then the tempo picks up. And as we're going to learn, Rabbi Nachman teaches that that's a major feature of all Nagunim. They have high points and they have low points. So this Torah, Torah Gimel, in Likutei Moharan, the third Torah in Likutei Moharan, is based on a Gemara in Masechet Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra has all sorts of very fantastic stories. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was on a boat and he saw a wave that was 300 miles high. You know, wild, wild things. He saw a wave that looked like it was a flame. So one of these stories is about a huge frog. So I'm a Rabbi Bar Chana. Rabbi Bar Chana said, "L'didi chazi li'ahi akrukta." I saw this huge frog. "Tahava ki akra de hagrunya." It was as big as the city Akra. Akra of Hagrunya. So a huge, huge frog. Akra de Hagrunya Kamahavi. How big is Akra de Hagrunya? Shitin Bati. That's 60 houses. Asa Tanina, a snake came, bala, and it swallowed this frog. Asa Pushkansa, the raven came, ubala Tanina, and it swallowed the snake. The Salik Vyasa Bilana. And this raven was so big, it swallowed the snake that swallowed the frog that was as big as 60 cities. And the raven went and sat on top of a tree. Tachazi, so come and see, kama nafesh chela di ilana. How strong is the tree? That's the story of Rabbi Bar Chana. So, obviously, the most simple way to deal with this is to understand it as some stuff.
A lot earlier than this. Yeah,
it's an allegory.
I was starting at 8:45, and everyone's going to drink and do what they have to do because
it must
you
be
have to appreciate these metaphors.
It's
got to
be
way.
An allegory of yes. some level. Some level. Right, so it's a wild allegory. So Rabbi Nachman is coming to explain this. So Rabbi Nachman begins with the following. Hine misha shomea negina mimenagin rasha. If you hear a niggin, if you hear a tune from a composer who's wicked, kashalo lavoda sabore, that makes it very hard to serve God. When you hear a niggin from a good composer, from a righteous man, azai tovlo, that's very good to serve God. Kamoshi yisboer, as will be explained. So Rabbi Nachman says, music comes from the birds. You wake up early in the morning, before sunrise, all the birds start chirping. That's the root of all the music. All the music in the world comes from birds. Now where do birds come from? Birds come from heavenly birds. There is a heavenly level in heaven, which is a type of angel, that's called the two birds. Kedisa b'midrash. The midrash talks about these birds in regards to a person who has tzarat. Mipnei ma mitzora ta'arasa tluya b'shtei tziporim chayos tahoros. Why is it that the purification of the leaper is with a ritual of two birds that are both, you know, pure and alive? One gets slaughtered, the other one gets freed. So Yavo Kalanya, let the creature that makes lots of noises, the voice creature, the Yachaper al Kalanya, and it should create atonement for a being with lots of noises. Kinilka machmas kolo. Why does a person get tzaraat? Tzaraat is a miraculous illness, which the Gemara says in Arachin is because of Lashon Hara, speaking ill of others. That's why tzaraat comes. So a person got the tzaraat because of his voice, because he kept talking negatively. Shadiber lashon hara. So the atonement has to be with birds, because birds make lots of noise. Birds talk. Nimtza mishu kasher. So someone who's righteous. Nimshechas hanagina shelo. Menashtei tziporim chayos tahoros. His tunes, his music, comes from the two pure birds. Kasav b'Zohar, the Zohar says, Shashtei tzipar manal, these two birds that purify the Mitzorah, yonkin me'asar de'nevi'im yonkin. They draw their nourishment from the same place where prophets get their prophecy from. That's called the two spheros, Netzach and Hod. L'chach nikra ha'menagin chazen. That's why the menagin, a person who makes good music, he's called a chazan. Why is he called a chazan? Milashon chazon. Because the word chazan is like the word chazon. Chazon is a vision. The prophet Isaiah begins with chazon Yeshayahu ben Amotz, the vision of Isaiah, son of Amotz. So the chazan is a chose, he's a visionary. He has prophecy. Hainu lashon nevuah, it's a language of prophecy. He takes the music from the place where prophecy comes out. But if the musician is a wicked person, the same way there are levels of holiness, there's a polar world of levels of impurity that are opposites of holiness. So if in holiness we have holy prophecy, there is impure prophecy. If in holiness there is a level that we're calling Netzach and Hod, there is impure Netzach and Hod. And that's where the wicked person gets his music from. The Kasuv Bazohar, the Zohar says, Ki atziporim shebeklipa, the birds which are of the realm of the shells, of the impurities, of the evil, yonkin midadei hamalchus, they draw nourishment from the breasts of the attribute of Malchus. There's a holy Malchus, but they draw nourishment from the breasts of Malchus. The Kadispalig Laila. So in the middle of the night, Kedain Kruza Kariz, that's when there's a declaration, the Zohar says, saying, Kitziparim Achuzos Papach Kahem Yukshim Bnei Adam, like the birds caught in the snare, those are the people that are caught. And then Rabbi Nachman continues, there is a way, though, to overcome the music of a wicked man. Says Rabbi Nachman, V'atikun hu, the way to fix it, sheyuchal lishmo negina mikol adam, to be able to hear music from everyone, even from a wicked person, while yedei sheyilmod balayla Torah shebal peh, through at night learning the oral Torah, which is Gemara, which is the Talmud, shehi b'chinas layla. The Talmud is also called night. Kedisav Midrash, the Midrash says, Kishaya Moshe Bahar Arboim Yom V'Arboim Laila, when our teacher Moshe was in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, Lo Yodea Masai Yom Masai Laila. He didn't know when it was day and when it was night. Rakal Yodei Zeh Kishaya Lomei Torah Shebechsav. But when God was teaching him scripture, when God was teaching him Chumash, Hayodea Shu Yom, then he knew it was day. When he was learning the oral Torah, when he was learning Gemara, that's how he knew it was night. The oral Torah is night. There's a concept called night. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the verse says, God seated me in the darkness. Zeh Talmud Bavli. That's a reference to God taking care of me by giving me the Babylonian Talmud. Uksiv l'choshech kara laila. We have the verse says that darkness was called night. Hayinu al yedei shelumot shas, through learning Gemara, because there are six orders of Mishnah which make up the Gemara. Yisakin ashis iskayin shebekane. That's the way to fix the six rings in the throat. The throat has two pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe. The windpipe has six rings. Those six rings are for the six orders of Mishnah. So when you say the Mishnayot and you learn all the Gemara, you're fixing every part of your windpipe, and then you're fixing the source of sound, Shemehem Yetzei Hakol. So then you can already hear music from a wicked person, and you can fix it. Zeu Kumi Roni Balayla. That's what the verse says in Eicha, wake up and sing at night. You want to fix the singing, kumironi, you want to lift up singing. How do you do it? Alayla, with night, through learning Gemara, which has six orders, you fix the power of song. This is what Rabbi Nachman says. So again, just to review what Rabbi Nachman says, there are two types of singers. There's a holy singer, a chazan, that's like a visionary, he's like a prophet. His music comes from the two holy birds, the place of the chirping of the birds, it comes from the place where prophecy comes from Netzach and Hod. And then there is the singing, that's unfortunately from negative prophecy, from wickedness, from negative birds. That's the singing of wicked people. It drags a person down. It becomes very hard to serve God. But there's a way to fix the wicked singing. The way to fix the wicked singing is through learning Gemara at night. If you learn Gemara, especially all of the Gemara, all of Shas, all of the six orders at night, then you fix every part of your windpipe. By fixing every part of your windpipe, which has six rings, so that's a way to fix sound. Once you fix sound, you can even hear music from a bad person, and it won't impact you negatively. This is what Rabbi Nachman says. So the commentators to Rabbi Nachman, especially Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter, explain this Torah as, number one, Rabbi Nachman wants us to appreciate how valuable music is. You know, sometimes people think that, you know, you can get around without music. Rabbi Nachman is saying music is something very, very high. It comes from the place where prophecy comes from. And therefore, there's, you know, positive music, and there can be negative music. But we should certainly, on the first level, try to attach ourselves to positive music. So why is music so special? Where do we see that music is so special? So number one, when a person sings a niggun, he really puts his whole essence into the niggun. A good Baal Menagin, a good composer, puts himself into the song. Like we just said the story, Rabbi Nachman, he composed certain songs. We still sing those songs. You know, we sing Oz V'Hadol Levusha, and then, you know, Rabbi Nachman has a famous L'Chadodi that he composed. You know, Rabbi Nachman put himself into these songs, and we're still singing them. They're Nigunim from the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. You can feel the holiness in these Nigunim. I have a friend, he's a rabbi now in the city. His name is Rabbi Soloveitchik. We were Chavrusos at YU. So I took him once to Rabbi Wolfson's shul for a Shalashudis. And Shalashudis in Rabbi Wolfson's shul is unbelievable. You know, they start mincha, you know, well before sundown, and you know, about 20 minutes after mincha or so, all the lights go off with the timer, and they have Shalashudis in the pitch black. They sing for about 45 minutes. Then Rav Wolfson says a Torah for about an hour and 10 minutes. Then they sing for another, you know, half hour to an hour. So I remember Rav Wolfson had said his Torah, and it was pitch black, and it had been in the dark for like an hour and a half. And then they were all singing one of the Alter Rebbe's Nigunim, which Lubavitchers have put to the following words: Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king, Avinu Ata, you are our father, Ein Lanu Melech Ela Ata, we have no king other than you. And there was such passion. So at one point, my friend whispered to me, he said, this is what my grandfather was fighting about. You know, this is what the Misnagdim were worried about. You know, this level of...
It wasn't a style.
It wasn't a style, no. It wasn't a style. We went to a bakery after Shabbos, and he wanted to know if the bagels were yashan, you know, were old wheat. So the chassid there said, no, there's... Here, everything's chadash, everything's new. So he said, I understand, you're yashan's doraisa. And the chassid looked like him, like he fell off the moon. He said, you know, here, we all eat chadash, you know, we're not makbid on yashan. Chal of Yisrael, yes, but, you know, not worried about yashan. He said, I understand, Chal of Yisrael is a drabanan, yashan's a doraisa, but see, don't they have a whole different set.
I'm smiling, but I don't know what yashan means. I'm trying to pretend like I'm dead.
Yashan is that the Torah says that we're supposed to eat old grain. We're only supposed to eat grain that went through the second day of Pesach. But the Gemara has a question whether that applies outside of Israel. So most authorities say it applies outside of Israel. But the Hasidim are lenient, and they say it doesn't apply outside of Israel.
Unrelated to Pesach?
We're always supposed to eat the old grain. The Hasidim are the ones who are lenient about it. They say that outside of Israel doesn't apply. But Chal of Yisrael is that we should only have milk that a Jew supervised. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was lenient about it here in America. So the Hasidim, they're very careful about Chal of Yisrael, but they're not careful about Yashan. It's a whole different set. But, you know, going back to music, music is really where a person invests himself into the song. And that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. If you have a song that comes from a tzaddik, a song from Rabbi Nachman or from the Alter Rebbe, so when you sing that song, it brings you closer to Hashem. And then if you have a song that comes from a wicked person, so unfortunately it brings you to wherever that person is. Now, there's a tremendous power to song. And Rabbi Nachman, by emphasizing that song comes from the same place that prophecy comes from, Rabbi Nachman is teaching us prophecy is not an intellectual construct. You don't get to prophecy because you understand a lot of Torah. Prophecy is a certain intuition. It's an emotional experience. And Rabbi Nachman is saying that the heights of song come from this type of a deep intuition, a deep level of feeling, a feeling that has powers beyond that which is intellectual. And really, everything in the world has a song. There's an old book called Perek Shira, the chapter of song. We're not sure who wrote it. Some say David wrote it. Others say it was written by Rabbi Lazar. But be that as it may, the seven chapters of Perek Shira go through every creature of the world and what song that creature sings. The song of the frog, for example, is Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed. The song of the heavens, the song of the earth, the song of the trees. Every creature has a song because the life of every creature is expressed in its song. And the song has life to it. You know, there are songs that comfort people. There are songs for weddings. There are songs for war. The Lubavitchers, right before Ne'ilah, sing a march, which they say was taken by the Alter Rebbe away from Napoleon. Napoleon tried to conquer Russia. And when he invaded Russia, so there was a big fight amongst the Hasidic Rebbes what the attitude should be. Napoleon, when every place he conquered, he supposedly was fighting for the sake of liberty and the values of the French Revolution. So he would free the Jews and he would grant them civil rights, but at the same time he'd put a lot of pressure on them to be Frenchmen and to be willing to intermarry and to stop observance. Everybody has to be the same. So there were Rebbes, the Menachem Mendel of Rimenov, the Chos of Lublin. They thought that Napoleon was great and that Napoleon was the war of Gog and Magog and that we had to pray that Napoleon should win. The Jews should get out of the ghettos, and they should have, you know, more economic opportunity. And the Alter Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said, no, Napoleon was terrible. If the Jews would go out of the ghettos, he was worried that the Jews would become irreligious. And he was praying that Napoleon should lose. So Lubavitcher say that Napoleon was winning throughout Russia. As we know, he lost eventually because of the winter. But he was winning when he was fighting the Russians. So the Alter Rebbe, he went to the market and he heard a gypsy humming the tune that Napoleon's soldiers used to sing before they would go to battle. So he paid her to buy the tune. So he gave her money, she taught him the song, and then Lubavitcher say that miraculously Napoleon forgot the song, and the French stopped singing this tune, Napoleon's March. And the Lubavitchers sing it every year before Ne'ilah. And with that song, they defeated Napoleon. And once he didn't know the song, his soldiers lost their abilities. That's what the Lubavitchers say in the name of the Baal HaTanya. I remember the year that the Lubavitcher Rebbe passed away. I happened to be in 770 that year. And Rabbi Jacobson, at the time he was the editor of a newspaper called the Allgemeiner Journal, the Lubavitcher newspaper, he said to me, I'm sure that we're missing so much to not have the Lubavitcher Rebbe leading all the Chassidim in 770 in Napoleon's march before Ne'ilah. Because who knows how many blessings it brought down when he would lead everyone in Napoleon's march. This is all comes from this idea that every song has a tremendous power. So even as an army, it has life through the song. And when the song is taken away, it loses a lot of life. Holy song is connected to enormous amounts of joy. The Pasuk says about Hashem, Oz v'chedva b'mkomo. There's strength and joy in His place. So when a person feels tremendous joy of being in front of Hashem, that leads to holy song. The verse says, Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. You are to be happy before God your Lord. Being before God your Lord is what creates the happiness. Rabbi Nachman has a famous story about the seven beggars. And it's a very, very long story, but the basic outline of the story is that there's a couple and they're very happy when they're married, and there are these beggars who come to the wedding, to the Sheva Brachos, and they keep telling these amazing stories. So the seven beggars is a parable for the seven leaders of the Jewish people, the seven Ushpizin. Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. So the sixth beggar is corresponding to the beggar of who's Yosef HaTzadik. The sixth beggar, according to the story, has a tremendous power. He has a power of his hands that's so strong that even after he fires an arrow, with his fingers he can pull the arrow back. And the reason why he has such power is that he can put his hand on somebody's pulse, and he can take, and he can, you know, decipher the 10 types of pulse. That's what Rabbi Nachman says in his story. So what's the parable? The idea is that the sixth beggar, Yosef HaTzadik, is the concept of a great tzadik. And the power of a great tzaddik is that even if someone has fallen in a terrible sin, the sin of hotzad zera levatala, of spilling seed, he can pull the seed back. In other words, he can fix the sin of spilling seed. And how can he do so? It's through the ability of with his fingers, feeling the 10 types of pulse. What does that mean? King David in Tehillim has 10 different types of song. There are 10 different types of song in Tehillim. There's Mizmor, there's Shir, there's Lam Natseach, there's Shir Mizmor, there's the David Mizmor, there's Mizmor Le David, all different types of song in Tehillim. So in other words, God created a world with 10 statements. That's the whole world. All these different things in the world, they come from one of the 10 statements. The idea of 10 songs is that when you look at the whole world, you're just in front of God and you're so happy. You're singing songs that you couldn't be any happier. It's a song of all the possible life in the world. So Rabbi Nachman is saying, you're an amazing thing. If I sin and I fell, the way to overcome sin is not to be depressed and sad. It's to have the 10 types of song. To be in the most absolute state of joy. To feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me. I'm a Jew. I have a neshama. I have a piece of God. God has a special connection to me. He's willing to take me back. His chadish kineshen u'raichi. I can become young again. I can be, you know, na'arayiti gam zakanti. Even if I'm old, I can become young. I jump and I dance and I celebrate and I get close to Hashem. And with that tremendous amount of song, I can fix even a terrible sin, even a great failing. So that's why you find that in our prayers, we have in the Ishtabach prayer, 10 phrases of praise. Namlichecha, Nakdishcha, Naritzcha, Nazkir Shimcha, Malkeinu, Elokeinu, Yachidche, Olamim, Melech, Meshubach, Mufara, Adiyad Shmo HaGadol, Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech, Mehula, Batishpachos. There are 10 praises of God. Why 10 praises? Because there are 10 songs in Tehillim. And why are there 10 songs in Tehillim? Because there are 10 types of music. And why are there 10 types of music? Because God created the world with 10 statements. And the 10 statements encompass the entirety of the creation of the world. And through song, we are expressing tremendous joy about every aspect of the world. That we're right in front of God, and we're celebrating, and we're dancing. So who are the people who used to sing? The people who used to sing are the Levim. The Levim and the Beis HaMikdash were singing. The Beis HaMikdash was a place of a tremendous amount of song. The Midrash says that who taught the Levim how to sing? Moshe Rabbeinu. Now why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to teach the Levim how to sing? Why can't there be some composer to teach them how to sing? Because holy song comes from prophecy. Just like, and the greatest prophet was Moshe Rabbeinu, he's Adon HaNeviim. So since Moshe is the greatest prophet, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who teaches the Levim how to sing. Because the songs of the Levim are from the level of prophecy. That's why we find that in a niggun, there's always ups and downs in a niggun. There's a slow part, a low part, and an elevated part. Because Rabbi Nachman says in Torah Resh Pei Beis, every person has all sorts of areas of failure, sadness, and depression, and not succeeding. And when I feel down, I have to look within myself and find in myself the good points, find in myself the good things that I'm doing, the good things that I've done, and I have to believe in myself. If I believe in others, I have to believe in myself too. And when I believe in the good within myself, I lift up that good and I reveal it. Then I elevate even the bad, because the bad made me look for the good. So the sadness got me to the joy of discovering the good inside of me. And that's the idea of a niggun. A niggun is, that's when I myself become a niggun. I become a song when I lift up the bad that's within me. There's a low point and then a high point, and the high point lifts up the low point. That's what creates the tremendous niggun. That's what creates the song. That's what Rabbi Nachman says, the Zohar says the word Bereshis in the beginning is the letter Shir Ta'ev, God wants song. God made a world, first word of the Torah is that God wants song. And that's a tremendous thing to sing during prayer. The Ma'avar Yabok, he was a Kabbalist, he writes that if you sing in your prayers, that means that when you're trying to talk to God, you're singing, then the angels who are all around God welcome your requests with their songs. They're so excited. They say, this is a person who's singing. That's what we do. So they welcome your prayers with song. Shlomo Alkabetz, who is the author of the Lecha Dodi song, he says that the reason why the neshama enjoys song is because the neshama, the soul, came from heaven. And in heaven, it was around the angels. And the angels sing. So when you sing, it reminds your soul of what you were like in heaven. And that brings a person an enormous amount of joy. The Sefer Hasidim writes that the main part of prayer is to have a tremendous joy about the gift that we get to stand before God. And therefore he says if you pray with singing, then you are arousing that amazing joy, and that brings you closer to the Almighty Himself. The Ben Ish Chai, yeah, please, Yosef.
Is there a differentiation between niggun and words? Or so, in other words, when he's talking about singing, so people sing by learning, people hum,
right?
People by doubt, you know what I'm saying? Is it the words? And part two of that question, in the 10 categories, in other words, is that what Tfilah is meant? Like, you take Haidu, for example, right? So Haidu sounds like what Haidu Lashem, etc.
Right.
It happens to end off with Ashir Lashem, Avanim Lechasach HaBatachi, Yodel Dov HaMelech saying wonderful things about the Rebbeinu Shalom,
about Hashem, right.
So is it the song? Is it the words for the song?
It's the tune. It's according to Rabbi Nachman, the main thing is the holy tune. Where does the tune come from? Who composed the tune? Did the tune come from someone who's holy, who's immersing himself and lifting things up? Or does the tune come from a place that's not so good? And he's telling us that we need to focus on holy tunes. Now certainly, holy words with holy tunes, even better. But the main thing here is just the tune itself. In fact, the Ben Ish Chai says that when you learn your Torah, you sing with it. And when you pray, you sing the words of prayer. That causes a sweetening of the judgments. That in heaven there could be all sorts of decisions against us. But the Almighty so much loves the songs that he ignores all those judgments that are against us. That's why we find that the verses of praise that before we get to the blessings of Kriyat Shema in our prayers are called Psukei Dezimra, verses of praise. Now the word Zimra is really connected to the word Zemer, which means just a tune. And there's another meaning to the word Zemer. Zemer is to prune. Karmacha lo tizmor, don't prune, don't cut off the weeds. That there are all sorts of negativity in the world. But when we sing a holy tune, we're pruning all those judgments. We're taking away all that negativity. And now only good things are coming and only blessings are coming. But this is all holy song. There's also the opposite of holy song. There can be song that comes from a wicked person. That's how Rabbi Nachman began his Torah. The song that comes from a wicked person has a lot of the atmosphere of the wicked person. And that can drag us to a very negative place. We find an example of that in the Gemara in Masechet Chagiga. The Gemara relates that there was a Tana, one of the masters of Mishnah, one of the greatest men. His name was Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya. And unfortunately, he became a heretic. And he became someone who denied monotheism, and a complete heretic. He violated everything. He was terrible, terrible. So the Gemara says, what happened? What caused him to do this? So the Gemara says that when he would get up, his Greek books would fall from his lap, and the students would always hear Zemer Yevani, would hear a Greek tune on his lips. So the Maharsha says, what do you mean he'd get up, the Greek books would fall from his lap? So the Maharsha says he was trying to hide the fact that he was very taken with Greek ideas. So he would give a Torah class. His students were all religious Jews. And he was hiding underneath it the Greek books. But when he would get up, the Greek books would fall and, you know, his ruse would get undone. So apparently the Maharsha says, therefore, the tune that he was singing was not a tune with Greek words. It was just a Greek tune. Because if it would be with Greek words, they would know what he was all about. And he was trying to hide who he was all about. So it was just a Greek tune, but the Greek tune itself, because it came from such wicked people, was dragging him to a bad place. In fact, the Zohar says that one of the key words for music is mizmor. Mizmor is the letters mum, mem vav mem, a blemish, and raz, a secret. So if it's a holy song, it's raz. It's the way to get to secrets, to understand the secrets of Torah. But if, unfortunately, it's a song coming from a wicked person, then it's a mum, then it's a blemish. But Rabbi Nachman says there's a way to fix even the songs that come from bad people. And the way to do that is through the learning of Gemara at night. Because Rabbi Nachman teaches us that at night, that's the time of the oral Torah. And really, the root of song is the power of sound. Not so much the words, but kol, the power of sound itself, is the root of song. Now, kol, as we mentioned, sound comes from the windpipe. And the windpipe has six rings to it. Why does it have six rings to it? Because God made the human body filled with lessons about godliness. B'tzelem Elokim asah es Adam. God made us as godly beings, that we're supposed to be, you know, filled with reminders of godliness, and every part of us should bring us to godliness. That's why, what's the name for heart? In Hebrew, it's lev. Why is it lev? Because the Zohar says there are lamed beis netivot hachachma. There are 32 pathways of wisdom. And that's why the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, there are 32 ways to remember laws. Lamed beis, ways, Shatorah Nidreshes Ben, 32 ways to remember laws, because that's why the heart is called lev, because the heart is called lev to remind us about the 32 pathways of wisdom. God made the windpipe have six rings to remind us that the goal of the windpipe is to say all the Mishnayos of the six orders of Mishnah, and all the Gemara that explains the six orders of Mishnah. So if a person at night is learning the Gemara, and he's revealing he's fulfilling the purpose of why he has a windpipe, so that fixes the power of sound, the power of kol. And once kol is fixed, he can even hum tunes that come from wicked people. He can fix those tunes as well. He can elevate them. He can transform them. Holy music brings to prophecy. We find, for example, that Elisha needed to reach prophecy. So he said, bring the musicians, v'hayak and again and again. It was when they played the music, v'nachal avruach elokim, the Spirit of God rested on him. In fact, King David said about his learning of Torah, Zmiros hayulichu kecha, your laws were zmirot, your laws were songs for me. That King David used to learn with his harp playing, and apparently he used to pray with his harp playing, because when he put the learning of Gemara and Mishnah and his prayers with music, so that brought the power of prophecy upon him. A chazen is the word chazon. He's a visionary. And through being a visionary, he can bring about a little bit of the powers of prophecy. So this is really what Rabbi Nachman is teaching us, that we should try to immerse ourselves in holy music. And if we're not yet in holy music at nights, we should make an effort to learn Gemara. We should make an effort to learn Mishnah. We should elevate our powers of speech. And by elevating our powers of speech, then we merit to have the two birds that atone for the person who speaks Lashon Hara, the birds that atone for the person who has Tzaras, and we merit to get closer and closer to Hashem. Thank you.